visiting with Josh Jostes, 19th season as head football coach at Maroa Forsyth down in Macon County. First up, Coach, tell us about a Friday night at Maroa Forsyth High School.
Well, I think it's the place to be. At least some of the time it is. But it's a lot of fun. Our community definitely supports us. A lot of people are going to end up at the local pizza place after the game, Crawford's Pizza. And most people are going to get here early and have a pork chop and hopefully watch some good football.
All right. Seven state title appearances for Maroa Forsyth since 2006. So people say, wow, look at that Jostes guy. But you need to tell the story how it all began. There's a lot of programs I cover where you can say 1-8 one season, 4-5 the next season, 1-8 the following season, 4-5 the following season. That was Josh Jostes' first four seasons at Maroa Forsyth. It's about perseverance, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's a grind to get through that. My first year when I was hired for the job, superintendent told me we wouldn't win a game. So football had kind of hit rock bottom. We had 36 kids come out for football my first year. I finished the year with 27. That was freshman through senior. Now most of my freshman classes come in are bigger than that. So we've had quite a turnaround. That's due to the kids in our school and in our community that supported it. Felt like we made big turns in season two. We were 4-4 playing to go to the playoffs in the last week of the season. Felt like we were right where we should be after that second season. And then going into my third season, we had a very good group of freshman kids that had had a decent freshman season for us. And most of them would have started varsity, and they chose to not come back out. It wasn't a great experience. As I look back on it now, they probably got thrown into over their heads and got beat up a little bit. And that's probably the one thing I would change from when I started out, is not rushing kids along, because it really is not going to matter to your varsity win-loss, you know, record. So regardless, they didn't come back out their sophomore year. That really hurt us, hurt our numbers. They were our best athletes. And then coming back out their junior year, which they did, again, we were 4-4 playing for the last game, you know, to go to the playoffs. The Okaw Valley Conference was no joke. You know, those teams were still pretty good. My 4-5 teams were still pretty good as we made our run in the playoffs. Those guys would have fit right along with some of those teams. And then fortunately all those kids came back out when they were juniors. We had a pretty good experience again back to the 4-5. And then, you know, when they were seniors, they led us to the semifinal, in 2004. And really we haven't looked back since.
And then the state title, I know 14-0 in 2006. You tell an important lesson. And I talk about this a lot in some parts of the state where you see some programs that are forced to play kids at the freshman and maybe even the sophomore level by attrition, and people will say, well, wait till they're juniors and seniors, that they're really going to be solid. Well, you run the risk, right, of seeing kids that aren't ready when they're freshmen or sophomores, throw them out on the field in a varsity game. They're only playing because they haven't won the spot. They're playing because of attrition, and that can do more harm than good, I think.
It can. My first couple years, like I said, numbers were thin. I refused. We played three levels of football, even with those 27 kids, so we never missed a game. And that is something we pride ourselves on even back then. We would have a team and we would be playing, but I do think at one point that did hurt me keeping some of those kids out because they didn't have a great experience. Not with even necessarily our football program, but just when you're losing and you're getting beat up, it's hard to be excited about it.
All right. So tell us how it turned around where you knew the switch had been turned to on. Is it all about community buy-in from all parts? I mean, 4 years without a trip to the playoffs, I assume Maroa Forsythe wouldn't accept that now. So what was the switch that flipped on, do you think, that really turned things around?
Well, Maroa had been very good in the 80s. A couple state title appearances, you know, some nice runs, and then football had kind of fallen on hard times, and really a lot of the best athletes were playing basketball and baseball, and they were not coming out for football was really the biggest thing. So, you know, it's a daily struggle to try and get kids to buy in and do things that is going to be necessary to have a great football program. Fortunately for us, we were able to get kids to do it, and the machine kind of runs itself now. You know, we don't have to tell kids that they need to lift or they need to run or they, you know, have to be at workouts. Their teammates and their community holds them accountable for that, and our kids are willing to put in that effort. And with that, that breeds success every year, that you're not trying to struggle and start back over with every season like I was when I first started out.
All right, a couple of different topics I want to get reaction from. First up, district scheduling. I know you've had a bit of a conference switch. I know a member of that great Ocala Valley, I think, in the Sagamo now. What about district scheduling? It appears, when you read between the lines, it's kind of picking up a little more steam. And I think the member schools are probably going to vote on it out of these town hall meetings. Yay or nay, what does Josh Jostice think about district scheduling?
I was on the football advisory board, so I am a big proponent of districts and was helping push this through to at least get it to a vote. We went through a three-year period, or a four-year period, that we were in three leagues in 4 years, and I would have told you I thought the Ocala was one of, if not the best, downstate small school conference around. And when it imploded, I realized any conference could. And then it has since changed another time while we were still in the Ocala. And then when we left and went to the Sangamo, that helped pretty much end the Ocala conference. And now I'm not even sure what their name is, but it's the old Corn Belt and what was left of the Ocala schools have formed another conference. So now it's in its third one, and really it was all based on the drive for five, you know, schools that want to get five wins. So we traveled to the Sangamo conference, is all located in the Springfield area, so my closest trip is 45 minutes. Everything else is an hour or more, and I have a lot of schools in Macon County that are the same size, if not bigger, in enrollment than us, and it was clearly football driven, and that's what districts would eliminate, because I think people will go back to their regular conferences, because the unfortunate thing is it's not that big a deal to drive an hour and 15 minutes on Friday night for varsity football, but you're also doing it on Tuesday night for freshman girls basketball, you know, which is tough on our parents to constantly be in the car. So I'd love to get back to a centrally located conference. Not even necessarily for the football side of it, but for the rest of our school.
All right, you can say, some people will say, well, football is on trial. I don't know if I would go that far, but, you know, there's always debate on player safety. You know, the concussion protocol is a big thing that coaches have to deal with now. And I know the heat acclimatization issue came into play a couple of years ago. And now another player, the issue, the motivation behind it is player safety. And that's basically you cannot play more than one game a night, right? And, you know, I think most people will say, well, yeah, that sounds reasonable. But there's some of these situations where the definition of a game is one play. And you talk about some of these teams that play JV games on Friday nights and a varsity game on Friday night, and basically maybe they'll use some JV kids to play a special team series here or a special team series there. Well, you can't do that anymore.
You can't even play back-to-back games in days, so you can't play Friday, Saturday anymore. Or, for example, us in our league, freshman games are Thursday nights and varsity games are on Friday, and our JV games are on Monday. So I think this is going to hurt football numbers because one of two classes are going to be affected. It's either your freshman class is going to be affected because you're going to eliminate freshman games on Thursday night in our area. And that will mean all freshmen have to play JV football, which will be on Mondays. And a lot of freshmen are not ready to play JV football at that experience. So then what you can do is you can say, well, we need to go to fresh soft only games, which is JV in our area. It's basically anybody not playing varsity football that's not a senior. So if you have that take, now you're eliminating the junior that might help you his senior year, but he really doesn't play varsity football as a junior, and he now doesn't have the opportunity to get better during games in a JV game. And so that year they're kind of the practice player, and that's tough to make a lot of growth by just being the practice guy. You got to get some game reps. So I think one of two classes are going to be affected depending on how it goes in our area. Either your freshmen are going to be affected, which would be critical to your program in that growth, or your juniors, which is always going to have a handful of kids that aren't quite varsity ready. Now they're getting no game time, and then when their senior year rolls around, they're not going to have any game experience. So those are the biggest two problems. I think you got to let coaches coach. It's my job to make sure my kids are safe. I'll be honest, when I was younger, and I told you I had 26 kids out for football, it was tougher to do. It's a lot easier for me now with 63 players, you know, this year on our roster, and usually we're closer to 70. It's a lot easier for me to manage. The other thing I don't like about that is one play equals a game. I think it ought to have went to a quarters limit. If you want to limit kids to 8 quarters in a week, I would have been in favor of that and understood that. And by quarters, one play could equal a quarter if you wanted to, but I didn't think one play should have equaled a game. That would be my solution.
Yeah, and then the other issue from the area I'm recording this interview from is there's concern from the high school football officials where a lot of teams play their JV games on Friday nights, and I know the IHSA is asking teams to abide by it in 2018, but officially goes into effect with the 2019 season. I think the other concern is, are there going to be enough officials to officiate these games that are going to have to be spread out over the week, and that's going to be the other issue. And I'm going to ask you as we wrap up here, Josh Joseph, I think your first year coaching was 2000. So you tell me, right now, the state of football. Now you'll say, and I don't want you to speak specifically as it relates to Baroah Forsyth because you're in a good spot. We get that. But what do you think as you look from your time in high school football from 2000 now heading into 2018? What is the future, or what does the future of high school football hold? You think?
I'm worried. I'll be honest, I'm worried. I think it's the greatest game on the planet, obviously. But on top of that, I think we teach a lot of life lessons as football coaches that you can't get in other sports. And maybe that's egotistical, but I truly believe that. And I feel like the less kids that are going to get that opportunity, the worse it's going to make things for our country. I feel really strongly about our football program stands for a lot of things, and it's not just about good football. And so I'm very worried that as numbers decrease due to the concussion scare, due to these things, it's going to make the numbers decline. And as numbers decline and other sports pick up, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to teach the same lessons that we can in football. And because of that, I'm very concerned. Hopefully I can make it through my last 11 years of my career, but I see some drastic changes coming to high school football.
Coach Josh Joseph, good luck in the 2018 season.
I appreciate it. Thank you.